The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
All right, good job. Thank you, Brother Palmore. Take your Bible and go back to the book of Ephesians, if you will, in chapter 5, the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25, where the Bible says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And I want to speak to you this morning on why every Christian should be a member of a church. So why every Christian should be a church member. Why is that important? What is all the things that's important about being in church? You know, throughout the New Testament, you're going to see that Christ places a very high priority on the local church. You see that the church, of course, means many different things to many different people. Matter of fact, people come to church for many different reasons. Some people come to church because they enjoy the fellowship. They enjoy being with God's people. They enjoy walking around, shaking hands, talking. They enjoy seeing their friends from week to week. They enjoy hearing the stories of how things went in their friends' lives or how things went perhaps in their family life or how things went in their business life. When you show up, you're a sparkle, believe it or not, in somebody else's life just by the sheer token of the fact that you showed up. You know, somebody's looking for you. Somebody can't wait to see you, and somebody is let down when they don't get the opportunity to see you. And so church means fellowship to some. You know, to others, it's a time to come and be able to listen to singing. They enjoy singing. They enjoy singing more than they enjoy anything else. They love to pick up the hymn book. They love to sing the songs that's in the hymn book. They love to hear the choir sing. They love to hear the quartet sing, the ensemble sing, the families that do sing, the solos that sing. They love all the things that there is about the music. They love to come Sunday night and Wednesday night when the orchestra plays along with the congregational singing, and they just love that. So they love the music. They love the piano playing, the organ playing. They love it when somebody gets up and they play a violin or they play a flute or some other type of wind instrument when it comes to taking the offering. They love that. They just really love music. Some people come because they love the preaching. They love the way a sermon is delivered, or they love the truth that's being delivered inside of a sermon. Some people come because they come because of people, not just fellowship, but people. Maybe they're connected to a different personality. Maybe they're connected to a different style, if you will, that a person has in their individual life. And so they feel very connected to a person. Some people come because they have purposes. Maybe they have a ministry. You know, it might be that they work on a bus route. Maybe they teach in one of, I think we have 57 Sunday school classes or something like that, and maybe they teach in one of those Sunday school classes. You know, maybe they are an assistant Sunday school teacher, and they're connected in because of a purpose. Maybe because they work in the nursery, they work in the Gyms and Jewels, or maybe because they work in the Spanish department, or they work in one of our other 11 services that's being conducted right now, or maybe they're an usher. You know, they love ushering. Nobody can usher like an usher can ush. And so they just love the ushering. I mean, they just love it. You know, maybe they work as a counselor in the front. They just love to be able to work with people and show people how to be saved. They love that. That's their cup of tea. And they just can't wait till the invitation is given. And they're praying earnestly throughout the church service that that person that's here today that knows not yet Christ as Savior will come to an understanding of their need so they can take a Bible and complete that need and show them their need is completely found in Jesus Christ. Maybe somebody likes to come to church because they just love the invitation time. They love to come forward. They love to pray. They do it every service. And so they'll can't wait to the altar call. And they just can't wait. You know, some people come to church because they love to sit on the ground floor. You got your favorite spot. Might be right underneath the speaker because you like it extra loud. It might be in a designated corner because you like the side view. It might be that you're in the balcony and you have found your nesting place and you like the balcony because, after all, you're able to get a different view than anybody else that's in the building that's not sitting in the balcony. Some people like to come to church because they just like to sit beside that special person. Might be a husband, might be a wife. You love to sit beside that person. Might be a son, might be a daughter. You like to sit beside that person. It might be somebody that you're trying to build a friendship with, and you're hoping that one day that they won't really realize who you are. And so, you know, you just love coming to church and sitting beside that certain person. Some people like to come to church because they like to make fun of people. You know, and so, you know, you like to look at the different types of people walking down the hallway. And so you just can't wait to see who shows up next so that you can go and enjoy talking about that funny-looking person at lunch, you know. And some people come to church because they just enjoy encouraging people. They're the greeters, you know. I mean, they stand out there, and they got the big old smile, goober smile, earlobe to earlobe, and they're standing out there, their hands, they're making everybody feel welcome and be right at home. And so people love church. Some people love church because they work in the sound booth. Others because they have the thrill of working behind a camera. Others because of the fact that you just like to be at church. Now, God has a lot to say about church. The New Testament church is, of course, a local visible assembly. It's emphasized throughout the New Testament. You'll see that members of the local church are saved, that means born again, baptized believers. You see it's separate from the state. The local church is under the direction and the authority of Christ himself. You'll see that the head of the church, as described in the scriptures, is Christ himself. And so it's free from outside control, if you will. In other words, there's not an association that the church answers to. If anything, the association would be under the local church and answers to the local church. I love the church. I received Christ as my Savior 37 years ago. And can I tell you, I'm glad I'm saved. I've been preaching since 1982. If you'll calculate that, that's 34 years that I've been preaching the Bible. Now, can I tell you, I love the preaching of the Bible. There's nothing like coming to church, being around saved people, and being around people that love the Bible. I'm more concerned about you being on heaven's roll than the church roll, but yet I also am concerned about you being on the church roll after you get on heaven's roll. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this. He said, "If I never joined a church until I found the perfect one," he said this, I should have not joined it at all, because the moment that I joined it, I would have found that it's not perfect due to me having spoiled it. For you're not going to find a perfect church because you don't have perfect members. Still imperfect as it is the dearest place on the earth to the believer. Now, can I tell you, members of the church is going to be at different levels spiritually. You take the book of 1 Corinthians, and you're going to find out in 1 and 2 Corinthians that there was a church that was not all that it should be. Matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians, you're going to see that they had great difficulty with sin, that church at Corinth, and they had many, many struggles that hampered them from having victories in their life. Okay, now can I tell you, you're going to have people in church that have many struggles. You're going to have people in church that are hampered from having total victories in their life. That doesn't take away from the fact that church is important. That doesn't take away from the fact that church is here, if you will, as God's people come together for the teaching and the preaching of the Bible. Somebody says, well, there's hypocrites at church. There's hypocrites at Walmart, but that doesn't stop you from shopping there. You may have had a hypocrite as a doctor one time, but when you get sick, you're still going to find another doctor, okay? Somebody said, well, you just don't understand, preacher, that church is not what I thought it should be. I do understand, but I also understand that church is what God thought it should be, all right? And so we have to put our opinions on God's page. Matter of fact, the Bible talks about how a person becomes a member of a church. Over in the book of Romans chapter 6 and verse 3 through 5, you'll see this, verses 3 through 5, it says, know ye not that as many as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, and like Christ, was raised from the dead by, it says, the glory of the Father, even so we also walk in newness of life. Now, that's talking about Scripture believers' baptism. That's one way into the church, okay? In other words, when a person gets saved, the way to join a church is to be baptized into the church. You're identifying with the church. Another way is what we call the transfer of membership by letter. By letter, and that means that you're transferring in from another church, another Baptist church. You're transferring in from that church, and you're transferring your membership. And what happens is when you say, "I'm transferring in by letter," is we'll write that on a card, and we write the letter to the church that you're coming from, letting them know that you have moved your membership. Another one is by statement. Some people join churches by statement. Maybe it's because that the church that they previously attended no longer is in existence. And so they join it by statement. Now, why is it that being a member of a church is so important? Let me give you a couple of thoughts here. Statement number one, for identification. For identification. The Bible says over in the book of Acts chapter 9 in verse 27, the Bible says, "And Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how that he had seen the Lord in the way and how he had spoken and how he had preached boldly in Damascus in the name of Jesus." Verse 28, the Bible says, "And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem." It's very noteworthy, if you'll study your Bible in the book of Acts, that even those that were the disciples of Jesus Christ all had the baptism of John. So Jesus baptized John the Baptist baptized Jesus, and then John the Baptist baptized all the disciples that came after Jesus. Now, the reason that was, it was for identification. By the way, he was called John the Baptist. He was not called John the Lutheran. He was not called John the Methodist. He was not called John the Episcopalian. He was not called John the non-denominationalist. He was called John the Baptist, all right? And you can say amen anytime you want to, all right? But you'll see here there's for identification, all right? You'll see that there's the doctrine that we hold on to, and in a church that preaches and practices and teaches the Bible, you're going to find out that they hold true to the fundamentals of the faith. By the way, Curtis Hudson used to say, "Baptist born and Baptist bred, and when I die, I'll be Baptist dead." Now, I can't say that. I can say Catholic born and Catholic bred, but when I die, I'll be Baptist dead, because I became a Baptist not by convenience. In other words, I didn't come up on my parents' coattail and all of a sudden I'm Baptist because Dad was a Baptist, and I'm Baptist because Mom was a Baptist, and I'm Baptist because Grandpa was a Baptist. No, I'm Baptist by conviction, not by convenience. In other words, I made a choice after studying the Bible of who I wanted to identify with, and I chose to identify with those that I believe teaches, preaches, and practices Bible doctrine closer than any other group that's out there, and it just happens to be the Baptist, okay? And so it identifies your doctrine. Not only that, it identifies your direction. You know, the scoffers say, "Well, you know, I don't believe in an organized religion." How many of you ever heard that? "I don't believe in an organized religion." Well, I've got something to say to the scoffers. I don't believe in an unorganized religion. Because God is the one that set down the institution of the church, and you cannot improve on God. Now, as a scoffer may say, "Well, I don't believe in organized religion," I may say, "Why are you trying to improve on the Creator, God, that created all things and by His own Son created that which is the local church?" You know, many times man's ideas will creep into a church. Many times we try to protect from that here. Many times a church becomes nothing but a socialized program. Many times you'll see people that would get up and perform on a platform on a Sunday is the same type of people that go to a bar or some risque place and perform there on a Monday. But yet we see that we are supposed to be those that do not allow things to creep in to that which is the church. I've seen total denominations change. I've seen local churches change. I've seen their governing power change. May I remind you, please, that the church, translated from the word ecclesia, is mentioned, and it's called a called out assembly. It's mentioned 115 times in the New Testament. And by the way, if God mentions something once, it's important. If he mentions something twice, it's important. If he mentions something three times, four times, it's important. And the more he mentions it, the more important it is. How important do you think church is when God mentions it 115 times? All right? So he mentions it 115 times. 112 of those times is referring to the local assembly of the believers. It's referring to what is happening right now here at Parkside Baptist Church. So it identifies your direction of your walk. Not only that, but it also identifies your duties that you have. You know, as a Christian, I have a duty, and that is towards the pastor, yes, but of course towards all those that are believers and those that are assembled together in the local church. I have a duty. Just like a football player has a duty to identify with his team, a soldier has a duty to identify with his unit, an employee has a duty to identify with his company, a Christian has a duty to identify with his church. And so it is for identification. Something else, it's for instruction. For instruction. You notice the book of Ephesians was written to the local church. You'll notice that you'll find in your Bible that you'll see that those that are the epistles were written to the local church, all right? And so if it's written to the local church, why is that? The church at Ephesus, the church at of Philippi, the church at Thessalonica, the church. So why is it? Because God expects you to receive your instructions in the church, all right? And so the Bible says over in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, the Bible says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Now this is written to the local church. For the perfecting of the saints, it says, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come together, it says, or it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith, it says, and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It says that henceforth we're no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine and sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. All right? So in the church is where we learn doctrine. In the church is where we're edified to be able to follow Christ. In the church is where God has placed us so that we can be able to grow in Christ. The church is God's instrument whereby the Bible is preached to believers that are assembled together so that they can grow thereby. Now why? So that they're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You know, we can be tossed to and fro. Now God says we're not supposed to be tossed to and fro like children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Now, how can we solve that? By the church. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 1, the Bible says the elders of what? Where's these elders at? Maybe they're at, a supermarket someplace. No, they're in the church. The Bible says, and the elders which are among you, he said, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, said, feed the flock of God. Now, where's the flock of God? Well, it's the church. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, says, taking the oversight whereof, not of constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. So what do we do? The preaching feeds us. I don't know about you, but I like to eat. Now, I'm probably a strange bird, but I like salads. Thank you, Brother Palmore. I enjoy salads. I enjoy salads of all type. I do. I could eat salads every lunch and flavor them different for supper. I mean, I like salads, okay? Now can I tell you that we all have certain things that we like? And by the way, preachers are all different. They're all different. Some preachers come up and they stand behind the pulpit. It's like a lecture. Never raise their voice. Never move. Okay, but preaching is still preaching, and if we listen intently and we want to grow, we will grow. Some preachers, it's hard for the cameramen to keep their eye on. You know, I mean, because the guy is moving here, there, yonder, up there, back there. He's everywhere. Okay, all right. Now, wait, some preachers are that way. Some preachers move around moderately. See, we have to grow past the thing. Watch, stay with me if you will. We got to grow past the thing. Well, you know, I come to church because of a personality. We have to decide that we come to church because there is some Bible principles that I have set up in my life that governs me, whereby I come with the intent of growing in the Lord and being a blessing. See, we're not supposed to come, I think sometimes we get it confused. We're not necessarily always supposed to come to church to get out of church what we want out of church, but rather to give in church what we can give in church. See, you're not supposed to come to church to be served. You're supposed to come to church to serve. And I think sometimes we get it wrong. Well, you know, I've come to church where I can be served. No, you're supposed to become the church so that you can find out where to serve. There's places that God wants you to serve, and there's things that God wants you to do. You're not supposed to go through your life, all of your life, just being served, being served, being served, being served. But you're supposed to give out. You're supposed to be the one that's doing the serving. So preaching is the food to strengthen us so that we can serve. You see that the pastor gives you a path in which to follow in your local church. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 3, the Bible says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. So what is the pastor supposed to do? He's not supposed to say, hey, go do this. He's not supposed to do that. He's supposed to say, hey, let's go do this. Let's go do this. Let's go over here and accomplish this. Let's go together and do this. All right, wait a minute. And so the pastor is supposed to protect your faith also. He's supposed to warn against undoctrinal things. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, the Bible says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they may give an account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. All right, so the pastor is supposed to watch for your soul. What is the soul? The mind, the will, and the emotion. So the pastor is supposed to watch. Now, wait a minute. So what is church about? It's for your identification. It's for your instruction. Statement number next, I'm almost done. For your influence. For your influence. You know, in church, you learn how to influence. In church is where you get your strength. I said one time when I was coming up as a teenager, we used to go to the Weight Barn. Wade Wagner and I, he's one of my good friends, and we go to Weight Barn. We go Monday, we go Wednesday, and we go Friday. Sometimes we go on Saturday if we had a calendar clear, and we go in the Weight Barn, and we would go in there just to work out. You know what church is? Church is like that guy that's the spotter. You know, he's not really there to take the weight off of you. He's in there to encourage you to do better in lifting the weight and to protect you just in case it begins to fall. So Wade would stand over top of me as I was on the bench press and I'm pressing up the weight, and he would take his fingers, like it would help a whole lot, put it under there. Two fingers is not going to help a whole lot. And then he would start shouting at me, you can do it. You push, push. Push. By the way, that's like church. Preacher gets up and he says, you can do it. Push. You can do it. Read that Bible. Do it. Serve God. Do it. That's like church. Okay? Now, wait a minute. And so we understand that church is for the protection of your faith, but it's also for your influence. Your influence. It says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven, Matthew 5:16. So it's for the influence. You know, the influence upon the lost. Influence upon the lost. I was passing out tracts the other day, and a lady said this. She's a preacher. She said, I've got that one. I said, okay, you probably don't have this one here, and so let me give you this one instead. All right, and she said, wow, they're different. You mean you have different pieces of paper at your church? I said, ma'am, we have many pieces of paper at our church. Okay, now what is that? That's influence. That's influence. You know, every time that you give somebody a gospel tract, amen, carry them with you, put them out everywhere. Just put them out everywhere. You go to the hospital, you put them out there on the tables. Lay them in the elevator so people can pick them up when they get on. Put them in the restrooms. I mean, put them everywhere you possibly can. Now, wait a minute. Watch this. And what is it? That's influence. That's influence. We had a person that visited here, I don't know, about a year ago, and somebody was traveling. I don't know where they were going, but it was in another city, and it was about 120, 130 miles from here, and they took the track and they put it up on one of those bulletin boards. The guy took it down and said, I got it off a bulletin board about 120 miles from here. I knew I was coming to Dallas. I wanted to attend a good Baptist church. That was just somebody that I guess they were traveling to and they decided to put a, what is that? That is influence. Do you know you influence people just by the sheer fact, as I said a moment ago, that you're here. There's an influence. Somebody said years ago, he said, now, I'll tell you what, he said, I want to help you. He's talking to an older lady, and can I help you? And she was just amazed. She was amazed, this young man, he was always there, always carrying in her groceries. He was a neighbor. And she said to him, why is it that you're so much this way? And he said, well, you know, I've been on drugs. He said, I was on drugs as a little child. He said, my parents is the ones that started me on drugs. He said, they made sure I took drugs 3 times a week. They drugged me to church Sunday morning. They drugged me to church Sunday night. They drugged me to church on Wednesday night. And because of that, all those drugs I've been on has influenced my living. Well, look, can I tell you, where you drag your children is where the influence is going to be. Come on. Well, I wish I could give some of you geritol this morning. You know, watch this. Did you know that when you have somebody in the right place, here's what happens. Eventually, it will influence. Yeah. It will influence. That influence will have a barrier on you. Influence. I asked my dad. My dad liked country and Western music. You know, Merle Haggard and country and Western music. He liked country and Western music. I asked my dad one day, I said, why do you like that? It's so depressing. Why do you like that? And my dad said, I like it because my dad liked it. He said, you want to ask any other questions? I said, no, sir. Now, wait a minute. What was that? That was influence. That was influence. Larry Brown, that preached for us not too long ago, Brother Jack Bachman was his music director for years when he pastored out in Iowa, and he said this thing about Larry Brown. He said Larry Brown would come in, and he would talk to people, and he would shake hands and be very, very quiet. Just be very quiet. Just walking around, shake, quiet. Hold it quiet. Just conversation, just quiet. But then all of a sudden, when he'd get in the pulpit, he'd come alive. He said, so I've always wondered why he came out. He said, then I found out he would drink orange juice right before he would preach. Now, why? Because of the fact that he wanted to get up and he wanted to keep it alive. Now, come on. Maybe I should pass that orange juice today. But can I tell you, watch this, the influence. You know how many guys started listening to Larry Brown and found that he drank orange juice, and they thought that the power was in the orange juice, and so they started drinking orange juice? That's called influence. I was preaching in the Philippines. My wife will remember this, and Dr. Ribatan, which is a friend of mine that's in Manapala, Philippines, I was going to go over to preach for Brother in Dallas, and Brother Ribatan told Brother in Dallas and the staff, you remember this, that I don't think he'll like you. I had a flat top back then. I looked mean as a junkyard dog back then, and I had a flat top. And everybody said, man, you look too military-ish. And so had a flat top back then. Here I was, and I was flying over to the Philippines, and here's what the Ribatan told in Dallas. If you guys don't get flat tops, he's not going to like you. So his entire staff went out and got flat tops. Showed up and saw all these Filipinos with flat tops. What's that called? Influence. Influence. You ever get around somebody and they're yawning? Come on. What happens? You watch them. You start yawning. Influence. You ever see somebody sleeping in church? You look at them and you say, I don't know if I should do that, but I sure want to. It's called influence. Come on. You ever in a big crowd and all of a sudden a guy cracks a joke and it's actually funny? Everybody starts laughing. You didn't even hear the joke, but you start laughing. It's called influence. It's called influence. Said years ago when I was in high school, we saw the guy, he's over here doing this, just doing this, his habit, almost all the time. You know, he was just, you know, all the time. For you know, we were watching him, we caught ourselves. We started doing that too. It's called influence. When I was in high school, I had a stuttering problem. I'd stutter real bad. I had a problem with it. Don't have it much today, but back then I had a prevailing problem with it. And I would stutter. I couldn't get stuff out. I mean, it was embarrassing. I couldn't get stuff. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I just wanted to be in my own little corner, be quiet, leave me alone, just recognize I'm breathing. I didn't want to talk to anybody. I found out when I did talk to people, either I influenced them and automatically they picked up the stuttering habit, or they were kind of making fun of and so they started stuttering, but regardless, they started stuttering. Now, can I tell you, watch this if you will. You'll find out there's the influence. There's the influence upon the lost, influence upon the local believers. There's the influence upon the land. You know, churches, I believe this, nations are only as strong as their churches. The reason we have such compromise and liberalism going on in America is because it first started in the pulpits. When the pulpits of America started compromising and started inviting in all the liberals and not knowing which Bible is the word of God and not being sure about this and being sure about that, then it gives the people that's attending there, governors and lawyers and those, it's giving them the instability to be able to make solid decisions. And so because the pulpits started compromising, now the land is compromising. Now, I'm saying this, the influence upon the land. Let me give you this. Why is the church important? It's important for identification, for instruction, for influence, and I'm done. Here it is, for involvement. You know, God wants us to be involved, to exalt our Savior, to edify those that are saints, to be able to put forth our efforts in reaching those that are lost. Acts chapter 2 and in verse 42, the Bible says they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread and in prayers. All right, so wait a minute. They continued. You know, one of the emphasis we have at our church is to reach the lost at any cost. Reach the lost at any cost. If it's going to cost us big bucks to run the buses, then we run the buses still. We don't retire the buses because gas prices go up. We don't withhold the missions giving so that the missionary has to come home. We sacrifice. We give what we need to give in order to get the gospel out around the world. Two men were fishing on a Sunday morning. One man looked at the other man and he said, you know what? He said, I feel guilty a little bit. He said, I really should be in church. I feel guilty skipping church, going fishing. The other guy said, well, you know, I kind of do too. He said, but to be honest with you, if I was home, I wouldn't be going to church anyway because my wife is homesick. Okay, you'll get that by Thursday. Influence. You know, it is important that you and I have the right influences. Okay, here it is. I'm done. Last illustration. I'm done. Here it is. You ready? When I went to church many years ago, I sat in church and can I tell you, it was amazing to me. Because in the church that I attended, the pastor actually opened the Bible. I never seen that before. I'm serious. Never saw that before a day in my life. I mean, what's he doing opening the Bible in church? That's unorthodox. And so he opened the Bible. And then to top it all off, he read verses out of the Bible. And then after that, he explained the verses that he read out of the Bible. And I sat there and I thought, man, you know, I didn't know you could understand the Bible. First off, I didn't know you were allowed to read it in public. Second off, I sure didn't know you were allowed to explain it in public. Third off, I didn't know that you were supposed to encourage people to obey it in public. And not only did he encourage us, he pushed us. And I thought that everything he said I was supposed to do. I just did. I thought, man, you know, at least he's in the Bible and the people I was under before, they didn't even open the Bible. So if he's saying it from the Bible, it must be true. So I never did forget, you know, he was pushing this thing about soul winning. I thought it was a mysterious type of something, but pastor said, you're supposed to do it. And I said, okay. He said, and we go do it on Thursdays. I was scared. I mean, you're going to go out and, I practiced Halloween for years and stuff. And so I thought, we're going to go out and we're going to find ghost-like souls out there somewhere. And this guy knows how to get them. And he said, we're going to go soul winning. So I thought, we're going to look for these ghosty type things floating in the air, and somehow or another, we're going to win them. I had no idea how we were going to win those ghostly type things. It was going to be floating air, soul winning. Had no idea. But I came prepared. I mean, I had my gun. I put it in the truck that night. I had flashlights. I had fresh batteries in it. I had my hunting knife on the side right here. And I showed up for soul winning. And if they were going to come after me, I was ready. And so, I mean, I was scared. Pastor said this. Here's what he said. He said, listen, he said, we're all going to go soul winning. Now, he said all. All meant everybody including. We were running about 350, I guess, at that time. You know, it wasn't a real big church, but about 350 strong. And so, man, you know, I thought, man, this is it. And so Pastor said, I'm going to go. Of course, I left the gun in the truck and stuff like that. Still had the knife on and stuff. But I remember walking in. It's just a few of us. The pastor was so excited that I was there. I mean, it was like the whole world just came. You know why? Because, and let me help you a little bit. When you serve Jesus Christ, it influences people. It influences people. It was Clyde Box that used to pastor here somewhere. And I remember hearing Dr. Box preach at the Southwide Baptist Fellowship meeting. And I remember him preaching and saying the neighbor always watched him. He said he had the nosy neighbor, and the neighbor always watched him. He said sometimes in Texas, it gets icy. And he said sometimes, he said, I would go out to open the door. You remember this, honey? He said, I'd go out to open the door, and I'd pull it. And he said, I pulled it so hard that I lost my balance, slipping on the ice, and I would slide up underneath the vehicle. He said the nosy neighbor would always be looking out, and he would wave at him. He said sometimes he'd be in a hurry. He said I didn't pay much attention, and I'd run out, and I would get in the vehicle and then realize I got in the back seat. And the nosy neighbor's just watching. He said, I just wave at him. He said my neighbor thought I was crazy because of all the stuff that I did. Now, I'm going to tell you, everybody's got nosy neighbors. Everybody does. You know, my neighbors know when I leave, and they know when I come back. We've had our neighbors contact us and say, Pastor, you left the garage door open. Nosy neighbors. Nosy neighbors. You know, we've left, and our front door is blown open and whatnot, stayed open. You know, and they just kind of watched that nobody would go in the house, but they let us know when we got home. Your front door's been open all day. Yeah. Nosy neighbors. Nosy neighbor. You come on, people come out when we mow the lawn at our house. It's amazing because you have people that will walk down the street, and this one dear neighbor that lives across the street, every time we mow the lawn, he walks over and he looks at it. And he walks by. I guess he's checking it out just to see if we mowed it correct. I don't know. But there's the nosy neighbors. Now, we all have that. Come on. Now, there's that influence. See, they're watching. They're watching. I hope that the United States of America does not become spiritually dead like the places of England that used to be a thriving, revivalist type of area. But then now you go to churches in England, churches might have 3-4 people in, auditoriums about this size, that's about it. And amazing, you go to different countries, and by the way, isn't this the way it is? Isn't this the way it is? When we have nothing, we pray to God for everything. When we have everything, we normally pray to God for very little, if nothing. Isn't that the way it is? We become self-reliant. The more self-reliant we are, the less we have need of God, the less we have need of God, the less we have need of church. Isn't it true? Here's what happened. When we were like a third world country, the churches were packed. They were packed. You couldn't get anybody in. You know, the more prosperity comes, the more we turn from the Creator to that which is the supplying of the creature, and the less we need the Creator. That's why you have to be very careful, as Paul warned us, not to become entangled again with the affairs of this world. You have to be careful. You don't get tripped up with things so much that the things become the important. My Bible says to set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. So I'm not supposed to let the things of the earth entangle me so much that I lose my affection for what's important to God in the things above. I have to make sure my priorities are always correct. Now, wait a minute. How does that come into play? When God puts great emphasis on the church, we have to make sure that we also put such great emphasis on the church. Now, by the way, listen to it. Church is not always, you ready for it? Here it is. Church is not always thrilling. Sometimes there's Bible teaching. Sometimes there's Bible preaching. Sometimes, you come extra alert. Sometimes you've had a hard day. You come in, you're tired. Now, can I tell you, look, but you always ought to make sure you're in the place where God can reach you. Where God can reach you.
Amen.
I have on my phone, I don't play a lot of games, and so I don't have games on my phone and stuff like that, or my iPad or stuff. But I love listening to audiobooks. Man, I love that. Now, I hate it when they have the audiobooks out and it's spaced. You know, like Fred ran to the door. He opened the door. I'm thinking, I mean, I like the real reading, you know, but I'm listening to some audiobooks right now, and it's that digital talk. I was listening to him on the plane the other day as we were flying over to the Philippines. I'm listening to this one book, and man, it's just like this lady. She's spacing everything out, and it's horrible. Now, by the way, sometimes church might feel that way to you, where you have the pastor, he gets up, and you're so tired, it's coming out that way, you know? I mean, it's like Snoopy in the old days or something, you know? It's wada, 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 wada. Come on. You know, or it's like, you know, pastor gets up, and it's like, open your Bible, too, and you're like, all right, but what you've got to do is you've got to decide, man, I'm going to come to church and get the gold out of it.
Amen.
I'm going to come to church and I'm going to find the gold. God's got something for me, something I'm going to learn. And by the way, tag on to that one thing. Take that one thing home and talk to your son and say, now look, here's what I got out of church. Boom. What did you get out of church? And by the way, when you do that, that's going to cause him to think, well, maybe I should have got something out of church. You know? All right, and you could talk to your daughter. So, what'd you get out of church? Well, you know, I didn't get anything out of church. Well, you didn't try too hard. Let's try it again tonight. See if you can get something out of it tonight. Talk about church. What'd the preacher preach about? Well, I don't know. Just said a bunch of words. Well, what'd you get out of those words? Well, I don't know. It was all confusing. Well, did you get anything out of it? Yeah, he mentioned the word church. I'm saying this. I'm saying there's that influence that can help us. Father, bless, we pray. Thank you for church.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.